the NFL. It's John Crick. Good morning, John. How are you?
Well, you know, guys, I mean, if you know it's 2020 when you have a triple header and it's Baltimore-Pittsburgh that gets postponed, not Detroit-Houston or Washington-Dallas. I mean, what's more 2020? We say it every day, and there's your latest example.
Yeah, and here we are. Unfortunately, just got the two to look forward to here. But okay, let's have the discussion of scheduling in the NFL. They've got all kinds of contingency plans in place, even to the point where if they had to shorten the season, they could expand the playoffs here. As we go through Thanksgiving in the United States, John, should the NFL be very concerned about maybe having to execute some of these contingency plans towards the end of the year?
Well, I mean, they've got the plan in place, right? I mean, you have to understand that all the teams are playing this week for the first time since, I think, like, September. And then there's next week, there's two more teams that have a bye, and that's it. So the point of that is that there's no flexibility left, basically. You recall how when the Tennessee had its little outbreak back in, I guess it was late September, where they had to, within the week, they rejigged the schedules of a whole bunch of teams, right through to week 10, including telling the Pittsburgh Steelers, hey, you're not playing this week. This is your bye week now this week. Well, a lot of players make some plans for that bye week, right, that weekend off. And so they got screwed that way, and now they're pretty bitter that, once again, it's not their fault. It's another team's fault. It's their arch rival's fault, the Ravens, where they had, I'm sure, some plans for this weekend, right? This is the only other weekend they had off, scheduled to have off for the whole season. So the two scheduled weekends off were both kiboshed by another team's COVID problem. But, yeah, the league is – they'll do what they have to do. I mean, they could not bubble. When you've got nearly 10,000 people on the 32 teams between players, coaches, support staff, who are being tested daily for COVID, and then at night, everybody except for the coaches that sleep on the couch at the headquarters, they're all going home at night, and they're seeing who? They're seeing their family and their kids, and occasionally they'll have somebody over. And the league contact tracing has found that every case of an infected player or team member has not come from a game setting or even a practice field setting during the week. It has come from a meeting, or it would be when they go home at night and they catch it from a family or friend and bring it back to the facility. So they're doing about as much as I believe anybody could do with, albeit frankly, limited knowledge we all have on this coronavirus. And they're going to do what they have to do to get through the season. If that means that there's enough scheduling problems where they have to reschedule an important game, Detroit-Houston today not being one of them. But if they had to reschedule an important game that might impact on the playoffs, then they'll just add an extra week to the regular season, which would be on January 9-10 weekend, and then push the playoffs ahead accordingly.
During the day, John, it's a meeting. At night, it's a rendezvous. When you look at these teams, though, if you're Mike Tomlin, do you say, listen, guys, stop the whining here? Because I really thought on Chase Claypool as a rookie, hey, the game's being rescheduled. Whine all you want, but, hey, the Baltimore Ravens are the ones that are probably going to be shorthanded still on Sunday.
Well, right. And although the fact that this has happened now, the one reason why they have a legitimate complaint is that the NFL's rule for if any of us were to, or including in the school system, might have a daughter that had a classmate have COVID. And so they immediately ordered the teacher and all the students to go home and self-isolate for 14 days. 14 days is the CDC in the States and the Public Health Agency of Canada here is the requirement and the suggested requirement for all businesses to self-isolate as a potential high-risk close contact. Well, the NFL's midway through the season kind of instituted this five-day self-quarantine for high-risk close contact. So my point of that is that when Baltimore found out on Sunday night or Monday morning that they had that infected individual, the trainer, I guess, and then they had a few players that were high-risk close contacts, well, that 5 days takes them through until Saturday. So the fact that the game was now not on Thursday means that those players now are eligible to play potentially if they don't come down with the coronavirus or have any symptoms. So that does actually impact the game. There will be more Ravens presumably available to play against the Steelers on Sunday, no matter how much low chances you think the Ravens might have. They're not playing well. Losers of three of their last four, and of course the Steelers are undefeated, but that will impact the game. So I'm not suggesting that, you know, they shouldn't be, their whining is justified, but their concerns are, hey, this is actually going to now help the Ravens.
And just moments ago, John, I just noticed that the report out of Baltimore, Jameson Hensley's reporting, they had more positive tests yesterday, and that news will come out later today with Baltimore. So maybe Sunday's game is in question. Anyways, we'll see on that front. But let's get to the games that we do know. Listen, there's no other way. Lions-Texans. Okay, so that's the first game here on Thanksgiving. And how many times has this come up over the years, John? If you're just settling in and you're looking forward to watching all-day football on American Thanksgiving, the conversation always seems to come back to, is it time to take the Lions out of the schedule here? Because they're never any good. But, you know, tradition is tradition. You know, and I understand it, why it's there. Why break with tradition? But am I wrong? How many times has that story been written, talked about year after year after year?
Well, most. I'm from that area, from Windsor, which was, you know, I always say the United States, which is geographically true, was the country to the north. When you grew up in Windsor, you have to go north across the bridge where my dad worked and where a lot of my friends and family are still. But yeah, I mean, the people down there, it is a tradition. It is since whatever it was, 1934, whatever it was. And actually, you know, because I'm on the side, I do some U.S. college football history research and written a couple books. I mean, it goes back to the 1880s, the tradition of Thanksgiving and football in the United States and in that area. Chicago, Detroit, it goes that far back, you know. It predates the NFL by decades, the whole big game on Thanksgiving. The problem is that the Lions can't bring a big game very often. Some years, yes, we pick the Lions in our, you know, in your pools because they tend to, before the NFL went to Thursday football, the Lions actually had a little bit of an advantage. And that they and the Cowboys were the only team that annually still have that built-in Thursday game, right? And so before they went to Thursday night football, whenever it was, a decade or so ago, they had a bit of an advantage in that they knew how to turn around on that short week. And so sometimes they'd pull off the big upset. Well, they don't have that advantage now. And so we see those Detroit upsets over another team. Even it's become less and less a tasty game, if you will, to kick off everybody's Thursday afternoon. And this year is no exception. I mean, isn't that the Houston Texans are anything great? Yes, they're coming off a couple of years of playoff runs, whatever. But the player that, if you want to watch this first game, and he's going to be by far the best player on the field, is Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. He did not have a good start to the season. I've been fairly critical of him in the last couple of years in that he is so inconsistent. And we saw it in that Kansas City playoff game where he was gangbusters for a quarter and a half and then disappeared. And he did nothing against the Bills, 0 points at halftime in that playoff game the week before. So I've been quite critical that he has not been a consistent performer, maybe as much as people say. But this year, his stats, in spite of having lost DeAndre Hopkins and the limited talent around him and on the team in general, he's been magnificent. Nearly 70% completions. I think his touchdown interception ratio was like 20-5. For a quarterback to be performing at that level, and hey, since they started 0-4, they're 3-3. And so, hey, I mean, you're going to see a good performer if you're just looking for a good football performances. We'll see highlights. I'm sure most of them will be from him.
Yeah, and that's with giving away their best receiver, John, in the offseason. Matt Patricia, hey, no playoffs. Is that the end of the road for him and another Lions coach fired?
Oh, yeah. I talk to people down there and read the stories, and it's just the rite of passage. Yeah. Year three, just like it had been for Buffalo before Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean came around.
It's like did he try to be Bill Belichick before he ever won anything, too, in the way he handled the media?
Yeah. See, here's the big problem that he had at the start there isn't so much that he instituted, which he wanted to be, you know, disciplined. They built the little hill at the side of their training facility where the players will do their burners or gassers at the end of practice. he's trying to, as all these other Belichick coaching acolytes have done, and not successfully, but generally, he's tried to bring the New England, and that was their whole plan, right? With Quinn, their former Patriots front office person there as the GM in Detroit, they've tried to carbon copy what Belichick did in New England, and it isn't working. And the problem there was that they had Jim Caldwell as the head coach, a couple of 9-7 seasons, but it did feel that, you know, this is probably as good as we're going to get with this coach. Let's try to raise the bar, because, of course, the Lions have won one playoff game since the 50s. Incredible, but true. And so this was a way for them to raise the bar, but all it did when he went in there, and he just peed off every player in the locker room pretty much when they got there, because they're like, hey, it's not like it's totally broken. You know, there's a lot of people that there's a saying, you know, we all grew up with, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, there's a lot of people in this century that, you know, oh no, if it's broke, don't fix it. And like, whatever. I mean, even if it's not broken, still fix it. Well, that's what he was doing. And that's what he's tried to do in Detroit. And he lost the locker room the first year. They went down. They traded a lot of those guys away. They had a talent dearth last year. And then this year, it's just been a disaster with a, you've got to get us to the playoffs or at least be competitive mandate from the new owner, one of the Ford daughters. He's not there. They're not going to make the playoffs, and it's just a matter of time. They won't fire him this week, but any time after Sunday, don't be surprised, especially if they get blown out today.
All right. So the 4:30 game, couple of 3-win teams, and one team will emerge as a division leader. That is the NFC East this season here. So it's Washington, it's Dallas at 4:30. And John, maybe we can kind of tie in the whole, not exactly a ringing endorsement from Doug Peterson yesterday on Carson Wentz when he was asked directly a few times about his starting quarterback for Monday night. Evaluate this NFC East for us, please.
Yeah, well, you get four coins, you see, and you flip them once each for the next 6 weeks, and then assign it to a team, and that's as good as, or, you know, or just, you know, have four different dog bowls in whichever food gets eaten the quickest over the next 6 Sundays, you'll figure out, that's as good a way to figure out who's going to win this division. I mean, there's so many reasons to point and laugh at this division. You know, most of the defenses are terrible, right? The quarterback play has been bad, and obviously, you know, with the asterisk of Dak Prescott being injured. But, you know, we didn't think that we'd see Andy Dalton versus Alex Smith today, even a month and a half ago, right? I mean, it's both teams are, they come out and you don't know what you're going to get. For instance, who would have thought that with Andy Dalton's first game after having his concussion, that he'd come back last weekend and that they'd win at Minnesota with the worst defense probably in the history of Cowboys football, somehow was able to slow up the Vikings offense and Dalvin Cook enough to pull it out. It's what I would say was about Washington is that of all the units, offense and defense in that division, their defense, especially their pass rush, might be the best. And so they might have actually, if they had a better quarterback play, no big shot there at Alex Smith, but, you know, if they had a little better offense, you'd probably give them the favorites, not at this point, but who knows? I mean, Daniel Jones, if he gets rid of the interceptions and the fumbles, especially with the Giants, maybe they can go on a little run. They've played a lot better in the last month or so. And then, of course, the Eagles with Carson Wentz, who on paper should be by far the best quarterback of the bunch, but his confidence is shot. He's had no protection. And if there's one lesson to take out of this division, guys, for the year, it's if you don't have an offensive line to protect, no matter how good you think your quarterback is, he's going to struggle.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's been a disaster. And the Washington football team, since Mr. Snyder bought it, John, what a joke of a franchise that's turned into.
It is. I mean, it's just, I don't know of a Redskins fan, or sorry, a Washington football team fan, that likes this owner. I mean, if you could, I always have said this, well, you know, whether it was Harold Ballard with the Leafs in the 70s and 80s, whatever, if you could take a straw poll of your fans, or actually a scientific poll, and if it reaches a certain threshold, then league should force that team to sell. I mean, wouldn't people just love that? You know, and whether that applies to any team in Ottawa, I don't know. But you could just, if that were the case, I believe owners would behave better and spend more money and try to do what's the more prudent, popular thing rather than the things that they do.
All right. We'll leave it there. I understand you got a bit of a busy morning, and then you'll be locked in to the doubleheader that we now have today on this American Thanksgiving. Always appreciate the time, John. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
There's John Crick from Post Media. You can follow him on Twitter. Check out his stuff in Post Media. He's been covering the NFL for that chain for a number of years. And he joins us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. You can download the Gabriel Pizza app today.